Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Elijah was really good tonight. He got us some space and was really hard to guard tonight. And I think Buddy got going the first half, so the combination of those two guys got us a separation. The second half, we played really well. Barama helped us inside. Marek, we got a little more balance. We missed a lot of really good opportunities from the three-point line that, you know, we really need to make. I mean, we got really good shots, and, you know, we just haven't made enough of them. It's important Barama keeps getting better, and, you know, we need Quincy to do – he just doesn't seem to have any pop in his legs. He's missing dunks and – getting shots blocked by guys that shouldn't block his shot. And, you know, he's better than this. He's just is not playing well. We need him to play better. Teams take a lot of threes against us anyway. They went to an extreme because I think they had to with the personnel they had. They were smart doing that. And, you know, they just weren't making. They had some open shots. I mean, they had some chances to keep it close, and they missed. And then, you know, we got going on offense. Besides, it was just Elijah and by then Marek got going and made a play. Then Barama got those two or three buckets inside. That's when we get something like that out of him, and we're just better. You know, we're just better. We're not great, but these guys have gotten everything out of themselves, I think, that we could ask for them this year. And, you know, we're just not quite good enough, bottom line. But we'll keep playing. Okay, thank you.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice to welcome. Happy Wednesday. It is Wednesday. Rate, review, subscribe on whatever platform you listen on. We really appreciate that. We appreciate
everybody. So don't we have a game today? So.
Oh, yeah. You're hilarious. So I was going to see if we could get through the show without a joke about how I screwed that up, but that's okay. Everybody knows when the games are.
I wasn't going to let that happen. And I'll let you know why in a little while.
That was my bad for everybody that was like, oh, there's a game today? Because I got a couple messages or a couple DM, or what was it? I don't know. Maybe it was Facebook. Anyway, my bad. It was brought to my attention. I don't know why I had that written down, but I had it written down. So that was me. I read it right off of the paper. So anyway, a couple things real quick before we get into everything. Look, I got a tweet today from, oh crap, I would forget to pull this up. I got a tweet today, or I was tagged in a tweet or whatever. There's a bunch of us tagged in it from at Russo Maddie. Okay. He's got a 13-year-old daughter, and she has got a single. She's a huge Syracuse fan, okay? Syracuse community. She is, according to the bio here, Cicely is a 13-year-old musician, dancer, and singer who loves to perform her own original music. Besides dreaming of becoming a pop star, Cicely's biggest goal in life is to help find a cure for the disease that ails her, cystic fibrosis. Cicely's first single, Long Gone Memory, was released on February 29th, 2020, which is also National Rare Disease Day. The song is a catchy, optimistic theme that speaks to Cicely's hope that someday CF will be a long-gone memory. All sales of the song go directly to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation to work towards a cure, and you can download that. I've retweeted it. I downloaded it. If you got daughters, young daughters, 13-ish, 12, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It's perfect. My daughter loves it. I figured, you know, I could retweet this and just let it sit here, but why not mention it? I just got it a couple hours ago. We're doing the show. I figure why not? So go there. Help her out if you can. It's only $1. I think they take PayPal and Venmo or Vemno or whatever the hell it is. I did PayPal. So anyway.
It's Venmo.
Whatever. I don't care. They take both. So,
right. Cool.
So good luck to her with that. And, you know, she's not taking any of the money for it. And it's actually really good. It's well done. So, ACC preview. We are going to be doing with James. So the next time back, we're just going to hit up the Miami game, and then we'll put something together with James. He said he'd come on for an ACC preview. I'm holding him to it. Maybe we'll review some of the buy-seller holds from early in the year. That would be fun to go back and look and check out some of those predictions that we made. And, you know, so something to look forward to. It became official after the 84-71 win over Boston College that Coach Boeheim would not have a losing season again. I think we're running 50 years now for the program. Syracuse improves to 17-13, 10-9 in the ACC. Boston College had a couple late announced injuries. Jared Hamilton and Nick Popovich didn't play, so I guess that was game time thing. Coach didn't know until game time. So Syracuse ends the regular season this Saturday at 4:00. I checked it. I double checked. I triple checked it. Saturday, 4:00 against Miami at Miami. The TV will be ACC Network for all of you who can't make it to Miami, unfortunately. Right? Great time to be there. After a really sloppy start in the first half, Syracuse would end up going into the locker room up by 8 at the end of the first half. Early in the second, Buddy would hit a 3 to put Syracuse up 40-27. BC would call a timeout immediately with 9:11 to go. In the second, Brahma would grab a rebound off of missed Buddy 3 and slam it home. I roared. You roared. The crowd in Chestnut Hill roared. And all was well. The Orange took an 18-point lead on that play. They made it 60-42, and the lead was never seriously threatened after that for the remainder of the game. So, the good. Elijah Hughes, 11-20 from the field, finishing with 28 points, and we could not have we might have lost the game if he wasn't so hot at one point. At one point, he just could not miss, and he was electric, and you know, he could not be guarded, and they were trying. He was just... they couldn't do it. Buddy, 7-15 for 21 points. Syracuse was +4 on the boards, even though it didn't feel like it. I got to be honest, after the game was over and I checked it, I didn't think we were +4, 38-34. And how about the free throw shooting again? How about it? 84%, 21-25, got to the line 25 times, massive amount. Excellent. Howard Washington was 4-4 from the line. That is good. The bad. Off nights for Joe Girard, 6 points. Quincy with 2 points. Dolezal with 6 points. You know, good thing Elijah Hughes was doing what he was doing for the sake of those three guys there. Boston College didn't have an off night shooting though. 45.2%, 19-42 from three. They shot 42 threes. 42. Rich Wayne 4-9, Thornton 6-10, Felder 2-4, to name a couple. And I'm used to Joe, you're used to it, we're all used to being exposed, but the combination of a little bit of rough defense in a hot shooting night led to a record-breaking night for the Golden Eagles. The most ever threes made on us is now up to 19. The ugly, with all of that said, they still lost. And how the hell do you lose after hitting 19 threes, Joe? 57 points in threes. 57. Also,
you want me to tell you?
Yeah, you're going to tell us in a second. Also, 20% from the line for Boston College, 2-10. They didn't get there enough, and they didn't make them when they got there. So that would help. That's one thing that would help.
Yeah.
And we were scoring. And they didn't take any. How many two-pointers did they take, Joe? How many shots inside the arc? Do you have that?
16.
Well, there you go.
They made 6 of them.
Oh, really? So they were 6-16 inside the arc?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, like you said about the rebounds obviously helped, but really you look at the turnovers and you look at the free throws. Like you said, they shot 20%, 2 of 10. We shot 21 of 25. So we got 19 points from the free throw line. Outscored them by 19 there. And they had 18 turnovers to our 10. So, and we shot a better percentage from the floor as well. So that's how you lose those games. I think they got a lot of them near the end too, where our defense wasn't as great and Boeheim was subbing people out there. I was actually at one point a little nervous, like, is something going to happen? Like, did he take the starters out too early? Like, because they just kept hitting threes, right?
Yeah, they were open, though. They were open.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they still end up winning by 13. And like you said, Hughes had a crazy good night. Boeheim, very efficient as well. And then Sidibe coming out and having another great game.
Yeah,
so.
Sidibe looked like he was going to kind of be a dud this game, and we're all going to be left sitting there with our palms up. But he actually came out in the second half, and he did really good. You know, he got the crowd going. He got the crowd going more than anybody, and Hughes scored 28 points. He was awesome again.
But again, you also have to – I mean, they made a lot of threes near the end, I think.
It's a little skewed. There was like
– yeah, it is a little skewed, right? And our defense, we talked about how we'd be able to kind of play this type of defense to where we knew they were going to be shooting a lot of threes. We knew that they didn't really have anything down low. So once I heard Popovich and Hamilton were out, I kind of thought there was no way we were going to lose this. So
yeah, and it was a little –
kudos to the fans there too.
Excellent fans. I think I always remember a good handful of Syracuse fans at Boston games in Chestnut Hill. I mean, they not necessarily that they travel there, but I think a lot of them are there. I just think there's a bunch of them there. So not that far from home anyway. Plus, you know,
Everyone moves from Syracuse.
Right.
So
I don't know why you'd move there from Syracuse. I mean, most people go south, but you know, you've got I think that's a pretty consistent theme, but you also have, you know, there just wasn't many Boston College. What do they have, you know, 7 o'clock on a Tuesday night? I mean, I don't know. You know what I mean? You kind of get that effect of, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, their fans didn't show up and wasn't thick.
Well, yeah, and Boston College isn't really having a great year, so I think it was pretty easy for the Syracuse fans to overwhelm them, especially considering, like you said, that little run Hughes went on and how much we were actually winning at some point. I know we only won by 13, but it wasn't that close.
Yeah, it wasn't that close. And some of those shots Hughes made are ones he doesn't make.
Those are unguardable.
Yeah.
They're pretty unguardable in college. So
yeah. So anyway, all right, let's have at it.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the loud house.
All right, you guys know what to do. Go to the socials after the game. I prompt your thoughts by asking for your thoughts. You do so. We read them. We grab a couple here and there, and we talk about them. So let's see. Here's one. At OLQ's,
you're gonna start, huh?
Huh? What?
You're gonna start, huh? Okay.
Yeah, sounds like it, right? You didn't sound ready. At OLQ's, he says on Twitter, I can't believe all those threes we gave up. Sidibe was dominant down low, and Joe should eat a plate of crow. Man, all that Sidibe trash talking you do, bro. Look. It's coming back at
Act
you.
Act like
buddy.
It wasn't you.
Well, what are you talking about?
Act
never.
Like you didn't either.
Never. Always sticking up for Sidibe all year against you. All you did was trash him all year.
It's a lie.
You're a horrible person.
I'm trying to motivate him, the coach.
No, he's just playing. I'm playing. Yeah, I mean, look, hey, we gave him a ration of crap when he needed it, but. He's been awesome, man. I feel like it's four good games in a row. It's four solid games in a row. He did a great job. You know, he only hit one of one from the line, but he's been good from the line when he's gotten there. He's been pretty decent. We hope for 50%. I'll bet you he's above that for the year. I don't know for sure, but I'll bet you he is. In fact, go ahead, Joe. I'll look it up.
Okay, well, to go back to this whole game on Wednesday, Joe Pasek, top fan. I was lied to.
What is this?
No, this is why I said the joke, because not only did I get ridiculed on Facebook from a top fan, but I also brought him to the airport.
Did you bring him there on
Tuesday?
Time?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got him there on time. And, you know, he ended up texting me after I dropped him off saying, hey, thanks for the ride. Or actually, it was Wednesday or last night, sorry, where he said, thanks for the ride. And by the way, thanks for lying to me. He's like, I didn't even watch the game because I thought it was tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So then I had to explain to him that it was actually you. And then he was like, oh, well, I just got you down on Facebook, too. So,
well, it was me. But, Joe, you could step in at any time and be like, Sean, you got that wrong. The game's on Tuesday, not Wednesday.
I mean, if you can't remember, I was traveling and I was doing it from a car. So it was just a situation where I was kind of just.
That's his excuse, guys. That's his excuse.
I usually check you. Yes. Some reason, I didn't think I had right?
Joe, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everybody else. It was an accident.
Don't apologize to me. Apologize to Joe Pasek.
I just said, Joe, I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing to you for anything. I didn't do anything to you. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Sidibe shoots 50% from the line, 54% from the line this year so far, by the way. So that's kind of so bad. All right. Are you done? Are we done?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Joe P, watch the highlights on YouTube, man. It was good. It's a good game. Sorry. It's my bad.
He went about his business as if there was no game.
I feel bad.
But I saw that we won.
I hope no one else did that except for him. At least I kind of somewhat know him, so I don't feel too bad. But at ZW Rodburn, Sidibe has been a revelation the past few weeks. Played really well again, albeit against a smaller small lineup. Elijah was great again. Buddy shot well again. The zone has to get more active, but at this point in the year, we are seeing what they are. If we don't outscore a team, we lose. Well, generally speaking, yes, that is very true. Bye. But yeah, I think it is what it is on defense. I mean, if you can get hot from three, you can do some damage to Syracuse. And if we're not on it, Joe, like Elijah Hughes doesn't have that game. Like I said, Elijah Hughes doesn't have that game. We might lose that game. Even with the foul shots and everything. I mean, it's a good chance. He scored 28 points.
Yeah, but he would have never taken out the starters.
Well, if it's and butts were candy close. And nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, too.
You're not going to say that Elijah Hughes is going to have 0 points. 28's a lot, but he's still going to score in the teens somewhere. So even if he scored 13, 14 points, we're still winning that game.
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree, but you never know. Who knows? Who the hell knows? All right, Facebook. Do a real one this time.
Paul from Facebook. Each game makes me appreciate Hughes more and more. Next year will be a different team without him. I love watching Godine. I think this offseason he could become a great player going forward, assuming he works out like Buddy did this past offseason.
Yeah, Godine. He's been...
Oh, yeah.
He's been... I mean, he's been impressive. I've been impressed with him after he's... towards the end of the year, past couple games when he gets the minutes he can. He just hasn't been out there enough, man. He hasn't gotten the in-game experience that he needs to grow. I mean, that was Quincy's problem earlier. I mean, Quincy's still having those issues a little bit, but that was his main problem earlier. Yeah. He's getting yanked out of games. Quincy just doesn't really have a role yet. But, did I say Quincy?
Yeah.
I meant
Bryson.
I meant Bryson, yeah. But, you know, Hughes is going to be gone. And James kind of hit up on it one day, one episode we did, where what the team is going to look like. And it's not going to be terrible, man. These guys are going to be better, too, you know? So.
Right. It's the factor of that. You see what Elijah Hughes does.
Oh,
you know, like,
yeah,
well, if he
absolutely.
Wasn't on, like, what you said about losing the game, right? If Elijah Hughes doesn't have that game, there's a lot of people that are like, if Elijah Hughes isn't there, then what is it going to look like?
It might not look great at the beginning of the year. You know, I mean, you look at
but he could still come back.
He could still come back. Coach made some kind of subliminal comment. Did you hear that?
I kind of heard that, but I don't really know what to take from that, especially so early.
He said something along the lines of, you know, he spoke with Tyus's dad or something along those lines. And his dad was kind of like, man, I wish he would have stayed or. You know, maybe they're kind of double guessing the decision that was made. And, you know, you always can do that in hindsight. But A lot of people think that, and I do too. I mean, like we've talked about it. I mean, what does Elijah have to prove anymore right now? I mean,
right.
other than making this team better, which is like what you mean. I think there's things to prove. I don't know if I totally agree with that, but
I know Jim says that, but come on,
Jim. Yeah. Well, I mean, can he get much better? Yeah, he can get better. He's hard to guard. He can put people on him. There's other people that can pick up the slack if he's having trouble on offense. I mean, it could be amazing. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying there's an argument to be made to bring him back. And Syracuse fans would be all about, you know, they'd freaking lose it. I'd lose
right.
it. That'd be awesome, right, if he ever announced that? So,
yeah.
Anyway, at Jason R. Money. I think it's Jason R. Money. Yeah, Jason R.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs. A gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Money. A couple games to build up some confidence before the ACC tournament. I love myself some Jimmy B, but wish he would surprise some teams and play man. 18 and 19 threes made says something. Yes, I think he means it wasn't a loss. Yes, it wasn't a loss, but still, zone isn't as effective. So, Joe, we've heard this. We've heard it. First of all, coach is not going to switch to man, especially when he was up by that much and it's containable and you know, a lead that was easy to keep because the offense was there. But, you know, as far as – so we don't need to touch on that unless you got something to say about that.
The man. I mean, I have a comment that kind of goes a little bit with that.
Well, let's talk about the ACC tourney. So did you see the new graphic that was up yesterday that they're predicting? You know, obviously we won't know everything until after the, all the games are played. But the one, the latest one that I saw, I put one on Facebook, and James had one. I retweeted on Twitter, and I put it on Facebook. That had Syracuse with the first round bye, possibly playing North Carolina, and if they won that, possibly playing like Louisville or something. But the last one I saw was Syracuse playing Miami. So we'd have to play Miami twice.
Well, Miami would probably have to win, right? Or
I don't remember.
I haven't seen the recent one.
They're always changing so much, but I'm just saying, you know, building up confidence before the ACC tournament with these guys, that's huge. It is huge. But until I know what the ACC tournament looks like, I don't even know if I want to make any assumptions on anything.
Right.
Because there's a road, there's no easy road there. I just don't believe that there's an easy road there in the ACC. I just feel like most of those teams are so close except for the Elite Four. And I mean, Clemson's dangerous, and you throw them in the mix too. NC State too. You know what I'm saying? So
it's tough because there's so many teams that have close to similar records in conference that whatever you look at right now is not obviously going to be the final product. So it's hard to even cheer for what you want, but obviously we got to win. And right now, if we win, we finish 11-9, and currently, right now, we're in fifth place alone because we're 10-9, and NC State lost. They're 9-10, and I believe the only other two 9-9 teams are playing tonight. Clemson's playing at Virginia Tech. Oh, sorry, there's three. Clemson's playing at Virginia Tech.
Miami's playing tonight, right?
Yeah, Clemson is 9-9 at Virginia Tech. So if you're a Syracuse fan, you got nothing to do. ACC Network, cheer for Virginia Tech. Florida State is playing at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is 9-9 as well. So if Florida State goes on the road, pulls that off against them, then that helps us out. Miami's playing at home against Virginia tonight.
Yeah.
So 9:00. And then the other third and final 9-9 team, Georgia Tech, is playing at home against Pittsburgh tonight.
Well, so, it's going to be interesting to see what it looks like, and I can't do it off the top of my head, but when the ACC tournament comes around, that's what we're going to have James on for, so we'll talk about it then. But there's no real easy path. No matter what way you slice it, it's just not easy. So winning games, getting some momentum, yes, obviously you want to do that, obviously. But
I mean, 18-13 is not the worst.
No, it's not. No, I know.
But you win two games, that gets you to 20.
I know, you got to win two games, though. So
yeah,
that's the problem. At Cuse Waterboy, our buddy Tony, how do you hit 19 threes and still lose by double digits? That's it. That's the tweet. That was the tweet. Was, look, yeah, you know, he had some responses. And you got this guy here. We talked about the man-to-man stuff at orange_runner. That's why I don't give a crap about when another team hits a three. Zone is about so much more. So, you know, and it's true. There's a point there to be made that they were made one-dimensional. They got so far behind. They're made one-dimensional. They were shooting some threes. They went 6-for-16 inside the arc, which is really pitiful. So they never were getting to the line. They didn't even try to work an angle of getting to the line. And they shot from the line 10 times, and they made only two of them. So, I mean, that's a terrible. I mean, they had to do it at some point. That was the white flag playbook.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, they had to do it, and a couple of them caught fire. That was it.
Yeah, yeah.
Most times than not, in a situation like that, they're going to miss a couple more, and we end up winning by 20.
Right. So, you got any more Facebook?
Yeah, I got a. It's kind of long, Torian.
Go ahead,
Torian from Facebook. But I like the points that he brings up because it's something that we could talk about. But all wins are good wins. A little off topic, but I'm sure you guys are watching what's happening in Washington with Coach Hop. With 3 5-star recruits and several 4-stars, they are in dead last in the Pac-12 and will finish the year under 500. Boeheim has spoiled us. I watched a couple of games from our 2014 team this week. Randomly came up in my YouTube suggestions. The difference in athleticism compared to our current team is ridiculous. He's really overachieved with this group. They are talented, but athletically more in line with a mid-major outside of Hughes. Boeheim can stay until he's 100 plus, as far as I'm concerned. If he sprinkled in some occasional man defense or even add a matchup zone or man principles into his zone for teams with great ball movement, I think he could eke out another 3 to 4 wins the season. So I know that's long and that's a lot there.
There's a lot there. Well, let's start with the Coach Hop thing, okay? Because we all love Coach Hop, okay? I think most Syracuse fans are Coach Hop fans. Let's be honest, okay? We hate to see him go. There was a lot of bluster early in the year about Coach Hop and what he was doing and how he's recruiting and the guys he's got and the energy he brings to his squad alone. But it's not producing W's. It started to. But they've slid.
Yeah.
So this has been the past 2 months or 1.5 months or so. Coach Hop's teams, the Washington Huskies, have slid a little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they look good. And obviously with the talent like that, they were obviously a little overhyped. For me, Coach Hopkins and being a head coach, his head coach resume to me is still kind of out there. You know, if this was a buy, sell, or hold, I'd be holding because you remember the ones that he
interimed
coached,
for?
That he coached for Syracuse, right?
He didn't win any of them, right? He went 0-5. He went 0-5 in those games, didn't he? Or 1-4 or something like that?
No, yeah, it wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
But then he goes to Washington West Coast, and I think that possibly 2-3 zone, everything surprised him. I think he did do pretty well the first 2 years. He won Coach of the Year.
Yeah, he turned
2 years in a row
around
in the Pac-12. So that's why I said this could just be a one-off, right?
Right.
But either way, to me, to connect, you know, kind of the dots of what his topic or what his whole comment was that Coach Hopkins is probably the reason why we don't have as an athletic of a team right now because of the fact of his recruiting. I think that our recruiting has gone down since we've lost him. And
I agree with that.
I think we've lost that on some players since we've lost him. And I'm not trying to slight any of the players on the team, but –
Well, the big men, especially, right? I mean,
right. You know, that's where you
think
seen
about
it
Isaiah
a lot,
Stewart.
Right?
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Yeah. Isaiah Stewart.
I mean, we've still gotten decent recruits, but again, I think that this year this is the third year with Hopkins, and then this was, you know, what we talked about as far as the sanctions and everything. Kind of catching up to us. I think this is what you're going to see as far as like the bottom, like the low of the low, and it's only going to go up from here.
Yeah, but like you said, we miss him more in the recruiting aspect. I mean, he was a great assistant coach, still brought the energy. You just love him because he's been there so long. I mean, it's just a fixture, you know.
I mean, he pretty much got us through the sanctions by being able to recruit guys that were good enough to come in as freshmen and play, right?
Right.
And
by doing that, but not having
the scholarships, we didn't allow ourselves to grow the depth of the team. So when we lost all our guys after 1 or 2 years, and then O'Shea Brissett goes pro when no one thought he was gonna, and then you lose 4 out of your 5 starters, your seniors, this is what it's going to look like.
Oh,
it could be way worse.
And to the point, I mean, we had to the point you've made before and Torian's making is that we've seen what Coach has done this year, and you got to look at it and be like, man, it's one of his best coaching years ever. Really,
this could have been
we watched this team get so much better, like just evolve, and they've plateaued a little bit at points, and there's been players that, like James said to me last night, you know, it's been shoots and ladders for Quincy. He's been up, he's been down, and it's been difficult for him. But
Ninjo,
Joe's had a great year, but that's what you expect from freshmen, right? They're young, yeah, man, yeah. It's going to be okay. Next year, you know, those guys are going to have the experience, and we don't know what we're going to be like without Elijah, but, you know, we got the players coming in now, right, Joe? I mean, we got more players coming in. The depth is building, and you got to look ahead to, like, Buddy's senior year, Joe's junior year, and what that team looks like then, because it could be kind of similar to this year next year if Elijah leaves. You're definitely taking a step back, I got to feel like, right? Obviously, it's definitely not a plus.
You don't really know.
Yeah, exactly.
You never know.
So, you got any more? I'm out.
Nah, I think we've hit on everything, man.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do it. All right, Joe, Syracuse will wrap up their regular season game in beautiful Miami. They'll face off against the Hurricanes Saturday at 4 p.m. Joe will double-check me. The all-time series sits at 19-8 in favor of the Orange. The Orange won the school's 2,000th game against Miami last year on January 24th of 2019. Since Jim Larranaga took over in 2014, Syracuse is 5-3 against him, or Boeheim is 5-3 against him. 5'7", 157-pound guard Chris Likes. He leads the team in scoring with 15.2 points per game, and we know how he is, man. He can 5'7", 157 pounds, and he can even drive the lane. So he leads also in assists with 2.5. 6'10", 260-pound junior forward Sam Wardenburg leads Miami in rebounds with 5.9. And then you got the 7-foot, 255-pound junior center Rodney Miller, and he's a big body, but he doesn't exactly light it up. He don't light it up. He's a big dude, though, so there's that. We know all about Syracuse's rebounding issues, and they sit at 210th right now in rebounding percentage. You know where Miami sits, Joe? Take a guess.
No.
313th in rebounding percentage. Well, struggling mightily there. The Hurricanes are 108 in the net, and just so you know, it doesn't matter. I'm just letting you know that that's where they are. Syracuse is 67th in the net. So that makes this a quad two game for both teams. And, you know, Miami's one of those teams where, I've maybe seen a little bit, a couple games here and there. It's not one of those teams I'm following. They're not great. And this is our first time playing them, of course, in the last game of the season. So, Joe, what else can you tell us, man, besides that they suck at rebounding and their big man doesn't – he's just – mediocre,
which is kind of crazy.
I know,
because you look at Wardenburg, he's pretty tall. Miller's 7 foot. Another forward, senior forward Keith Stone, who doesn't do too much as far as numbers wise, he's 6'8". So they have some bodies down there, but realistically, you got to look at Chris Likes being as small as he is, and then they start two other guards that are only 6'3". Freshman Isaiah Wong. And senior Dejan Vasilovic, which I know you'll remember and most of us remember because he's that guy that can shoot the threes out there. And I'm sure he's going to be pulling away. So, again, I see this as a team. This is going to be a situation where Chris Likes, yes, he can drive the lane, but I don't think he's really ever really had success doing it against 2-3 zone because
he draws fouls all the time down there.
I mean, yes, he can draw fouls, he can get into the lane and penetrate. But as long as we can be, well, it's hard to say because they haven't been. But I mean, you know what he's going to do. So just let him shoot because you know that it's going to be a bad shot to be able to go in there and shoot. But
just stay upright and don't lean into the kid. That's all. I mean, he's 37.9% from three, so that's his game. You talk about Vasilovic, 34.2 from three, so those are your two guys. And, I mean, even Isaiah Wong, who's taken only 40, but he sits at 40% from three. So you got to kind of imagine that their game plan with the way their bigs play, they might try to do something in there, but the way Sidibe's been playing lately, I feel like he can hold his own down there even against a 255-pound center, and because the guy's just not that athletic, let's be honest.
I don't see them offensively setting up with the big guys down there because they're not any of their main scorers. I can see them going small. I mean, Cameron McGusty, 6'5 junior, I can see as a guy who, I mean, he averages double digits. I can see him in the middle of the zone there and trying to feed it down to some of the big guys. But overall, just looking at the way that their whole season and the way that, I look at KenPom and their defense and their offense and just the way their season's gone in the ACC, they really haven't beaten anybody really, really. I mean, I think their best win was against Clemson at home in overtime.
And they beat Virginia Tech recently, but who hasn't?
Virginia Tech recently, yeah. So they did have some non-conference wins that were pretty good. But as far as ACC play goes, they haven't been great. So, again, I see this as a game where they end up another team that ends up settling for a lot of threes.
Yeah, and but they're a better three-point shooting team than Boston College. Boston College came into that game shooting 30.1%, and it came out shooting 45%.
Yeah. So I just, as long as we take care of the ball, and if we out-rebound a team that's worse than us, I mean, what game have we out-rebounded a team
in total turnover to team and loss this year?
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'm hoping that this is going to be very lopsided on the rebounding end. I'm just hoping and praying that we can get lucky on a couple of those. Like last night, I thought it was worse last night, but the bounces, the guys were just not in the right spot. A lot of those long shots, they were coming off those rebounds. They had four chances to score one time. And the shot clock ended up running out on him. So, you know, it's just right place, right time is a lot of it. You know what I mean? It's just like knowing where to be. But
like scares me. Yeah. Vasilevich.
Absolutely. Well, that's where
I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's where I'm
Mike
at.
Scares me because he can get so low. So he's going to be able to get lower than Gerard. And I can see him giving him fits. And I'm just Vasilevich. He always hits threes against us. So, but again, when we out rebound a team and we take care of the ball and we win the turnover battle, like, we usually win. So, and I don't think they have anybody that can guard Elijah Hughes.
No, I don't think so either. But I'm not trying to be overly confident either. But it's the last game of the season, so what the hell?
We usually play not so bad down there. We play good on the road, it's one of those situations where there's a lot of snowbirds down there from New York, and this Larry is Nagus. One of those games that I think that there's going to be a decent. Probably more than Boston. I mean, it's going to be. There's not going to be too many Miami Hurricanes basketball fans in there. They're probably going to be cheap tickets and the Syracuse fans' chance to go to a game down in Miami.
Larinaga's struggled against Boeheim, too. So, I mean, there's that. But so we will see. It's going to be fun. It's the last regular game of the season.
Let's get to 18 and 13. Lock that 5 seed up, bro.
Yeah, let's lock it up and see what happens. We're going to, obviously, be back once that bracket comes out. We'll put something together with James. So look for that. We'll try to run through a couple of the first game or the first game and a possibility or wherever it leads us. We'll see. We'll have to see where we're at. But, you know, it's a game every night once you get started. So we'll get back and do the shows as we can. So that'll be that. And we'll just hope for the best, man. It'd be fun. It's March, baby. It's March.
Yeah.
So
we're getting there. There's already been the conference tournaments have started for some of the smaller schools already. So
yeah. So all right, that's it. That's all I got. Thank you to all of you. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you participating in fan feedback. Go check out my Twitter feed. I'll put it on Facebook too. Check out Cicely's single there. Help her out with her fight against cystic fibrosis. We appreciate it. She appreciates it too. Yep. And I guess I don't have a sponsor to say today.
Saturday.
What?
Saturday, all the games will be over with. So,
okay, so we'll know Saturday night.
Saturday is 6 o'clock. North Carolina's at Duke, and that's going to be I think that's the last ACC game. So come Sunday, we'll know what the ACC tournament bracket is going to look like.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. That's cool.
Shout out to Syracuse Lacrosse.
Oh, yes.
One of the polls.
Yes, we will. And also, man, we should have mentioned this earlier because I doubt anybody's even listening to this right now.
Probably not, no.
But we're going to hit up a little bit of lacrosse after things clear up here with basketball and take a break in between the tournaments. So we'll see what we can do with that.
But, they're undefeated, has some good ranked losses already,
They're playing freaking awesome, dude. They've beat some solid teams this year so far.
Beat Hobart.
Hobart was ranked. That's going to be something to look forward to this spring. Absolutely. So, all right, that's it. That's all I got for Joe. I'm Sean. We're out.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.